Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse, and I'm your host. Let's get into it.
Gjallveit here Workshop is dedicated to the old ways, offering a wide selection of animist ritual supplies, divination tools, altar goods, and home decor, including premium reindeer hides imported from traditional herders in northern Finland. Whether you're just starting your spiritual journey or looking to expand your collection with a custom drum, we have everything you need. Visit our online store at gjallveithere.com and discover the beauty of mountain spirit.
Well, hello there, everybody out there in all the broad places of the far wide world. Hail and welcome to this week's episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a solo run. For those of you who have been listening or watching my show for any length of time, that used to be the norm. You know, that used to be kind of the standard. That was what made this podcast what it was. It was a very isolated sort of just me speaking into the camera, speaking to nobody in particular, not really anything sort of conversational, but tapping back into those roots a little bit this week because the scheduled guest for this week's episode, as we say in the professional sector, no call, no show, right? And look, I do my best to coordinate and plan with people who have expressed an interest or a desire to be on the show. You know, we stay in communication. We confirm in advance of the show. And even though I've got guests that are booked out, you know, sometimes weeks or months in advance, I always touch base with my guests close to time, you know, so within a week or so of our scheduled recording date, I'm always touching base and saying, hey, you know, just wanting to reconnect and make sure that we're all still good, which is what always happens. And so same thing happened for this week's guest, right? I was touching base with them last week and everything was good to go. You know, got the email back saying, yeah, I'm booking it on my calendar. I'm pinning it to my wall or whatever the thing was that they said, and sat around and waited in the studio for them to arrive. No arrivals, no communication as to why or anything. And I get frustrated with stuff like that, just being honest with all of you, because it does take, you know, I plan for these things. I even advertise in advance for you folks that are watching and listening this to be expecting something this in the coming week, you know. And then when something pops up unexpected, like what happened this week and what's happened sometimes in the past, where, you know, a guest that I had scheduled couldn't make it for whatever reason, it gets frustrating, you know. And I try not to think too deeply into it, but to, you know, and to give some grace where there's like, well, you know, things happen. Obviously, life happens. You know, you never know what's going on. So as frustrating as it is, I try not to take it too personally and let it get to me too bad, but it does create a bit of a challenge to have to think about, all right, well, there's still content that needs to come out, and I am a one show, one production, one, I do it all, right? I host the show, I produce the show, I book the shows with guests. This is not a team of people that runs Midgard Musings. This is not a team that runs the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. What you see is what you got. So when there's things that are planned and booked that don't happen, it's up to me to kind of fill in those gaps and make sure that when there's something scheduled that we get something out here, and something that's hopefully not a waste of people's time or whatever. So here I am just doing a solo run this week to give you guys something to think about. And this is more coming from me, right? Like I was talking earlier about the old format of the show and how it was more of a, you know, speaking into the void or speaking into the camera, not really speaking to anyone or having a conversation with anyone. Yeah, sure, speaking to an audience when the video comes out, but in the moment, there is a just a camera, you know. So I think in advance of the audience that it's going to, and what might they want to hear. But a lot of that type of content that comes in that way comes from a place of my own things that I'm going through, or things that I may be meditating on or thinking about at the time. So here we are, going into that bit of a solo headspace. What's been on Jesse's mind? What's been on the mind of this particular heathen in Middle Tennessee? So before we get into it, I do just want to call your attention for those folks that are maybe new to this show. If you're listening to this on Spotify, there's going to be information in the show notes, a Linktree link that you can find for all the ways that you can support what I do in this capacity. You can follow me on those social medias that are linked in my Linktree. You can buy merchandise. For those of you that are watching this on Patreon, hello, welcome back. So if you're listening to this and you want to know what I mean by that, is that this podcast in its audio format is also in video format, but you've got to come over to my Patreon to watch. Now, I'm not here to, you know, make life difficult for people. So if you want to watch this video, if you want to watch any of the videos that I put out here, it's just a $1 pledge. You don't have to repeat that pledge coming back every month, but once you pledge that dollar, you have video access, or you have access to the video versions of this podcast. Basically since season 5, most of my other seasons have already been released on YouTube. But everything in season 5 is only on here on Patreon in video format. So if you want to pledge a dollar, watch a bunch of videos and not renew, that's totally fine. You're under no obligation to have to do that. But it does help with supporting the podcast production and the time that it takes for me to record and do stuff like I just mentioned, right? Like things happen, right? Plans that are made have to get canceled or rescheduled. And there's all types of things that happen behind the scenes that make it frustrating for a one-person production crew to have to work through. So the dollar is appreciated. It helps, you know, motivate me and keep me going on doing the video stuff. So all that's in the Linktree link that's in the show notes. And to my existing patrons and new patrons here on Patreon, if you're new here to the channel or to the Patreon platform, thank you so very much. And everybody else that's been here, continues to be here supporting me, thank you all 10 times over, 100 times over, a million times over. Thank you all so very much. There's different tiers also on the Patreon page. So if you're interested in wanting to support even more, or, you know, you get more out of it. So I'm not going to bore you with the details. I don't have to explain it all. You just go to my Patreon. You'll see what I offer. And if it fits you, rock on with it. So anyways, now that we've got all the announcements, you know, the housekeeping stuff and like that out of the way, here I am to talk a bit about what's on my mind. You know, and I was sitting here waiting for my guests to appear, emailing them to say, hey, you know, here I am waiting, are you coming? And, you know, an hour goes by and I get, you know, it's nothing. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to call it, right? We're not going to do it this week. We will reschedule for another time. If you're still interested, we can figure that part out at a later date. I did put out like a little message or a call out there, like, hey, you know, this is on my social media. I said, yeah, I didn't have it was a no call, no show. Any suggestions? I did have somebody reach out and say, hey, reach out to this person on TikTok. And I go, well, I don't use TikTok. But anyway, what's on the mind? What's on my mind? You know, one of the things that I continually see happening with some of the people who are very near and dear to me. So this is getting into some territory of intimate stuff, right? Like talking about relationships between a tribe or members of a tribe, not mentioning names, not mentioning very granular specifics or details, but just kind of the things that we face as individuals who are interconnected at a tribal level, to whatever degree you want to, you know, call it. So I've noticed, or I've been exposed to things happening where people are really struggling, it seems, with continuing to push or pursue their, say, responsibilities or their obligations with their respective tribes. There's a lot of things that come up in a person's life that call their attention to that thing that comes up. And some of those things that can happen in life, in an individual's life, take precedence over the other things that in the past they had put the majority of their focus on, you know, lifestyle changes, events, things that pop up, you know, just various things. I'm sure if you're watching or listening to this, this can resonate a bit. You know, you maybe found yourself in, even at one time, you know, kind of committed or devoted to a group, or a collective of people. And there was a lot of effort and a lot of drive being put behind what you were doing. And there was those efforts and that drive was being recognized and noticed, and it was doing good, you know? And then maybe something happened where, you know, it was like an unplanned sort of thing, or the impact, if it was planned, was more than what was expected. And then now all of a sudden that focus, which was put on the efforts towards the group or the collective, is now being shifted towards what the individual needs. You know, so it can sometimes feel like there's a withdrawal from this group or collective. Feels like that person who was once so active or once so present in their way is now not as much. You know, it feels like they're not invested as much anymore. And I think that can sometimes lead folks that maybe want to maybe jump to conclusions, or, you know, come up with a reason why without knowing the full details of things. You know, it can really affect and impact the overall relationship that people have with one another, you know. And I've had to be exposed to things like this recently myself, and it's caused me to think of, well, how do we navigate through these moments, right? As a heathen myself, I look at what my worldview is on things, and a lot of what my worldview is circulates around, you know, we are our deeds. What we do is what solidifies our reputation. It's what solidifies our, the reputation, but I mean, by like your frame, right? So the social sort of credit score that we're known by, for lack of a better term. I think that Giffrain and you know, to use social credit score is a bit, I think that's a good way to describe it, for what Giffrain is. So if you're new to this, or you're not sure what I mean by that, if you ever hear the word Giffrain, that's basically what it is. It's the person's credit rating by, you know, a broader audience, what people perceive you as, what people know you as, what your reputation is, on a broad scale. And that's an important thing, you know. How heathens behave should be done with honor, and should be done with honor in mind, right? What do I want to do? How do I want to act that preserves my honor, my luck, And then, you know, the luck, the honor of those that I'm interconnected with. When an individual heathen ties weird and becomes connected with other people, other heathens especially, you know, there's this thing that happens. We've talked about before called Frith. Frith happens interpersonally. It happens amongst people. It doesn't happen long distance. It doesn't happen, you know, or it doesn't really blossom or bloom into what it really is over long distance. Seeds might be planted, or there's, you know, things that can happen that can start action being, you know, taken in that direction of securing and maintaining and fostering that, that frith web, that frith bond between people. But ultimately, even if something like that starts long distance, it has to happen ultimately in person. It has to be maintained in that way. You know, there has to be accountability. You know, there's obligation involved with frith. There's responsibility involved with frith. And you can't really hold people accountable or responsible to one another over long distance. It's hard to really measure that. It's hard to really quantify that. It's hard to preserve that degree of a bond with someone or someone's, you know, over long distance. So when things start out between one individual, two individuals, and then it expands and becomes, you know, several people or more, you know, it's almost like it's impossible for it not to turn out where if someone who was once focused or dedicated on the tribe, on the group, and was putting a lot of their focus and their effort into it, and who is now being pulled in a different direction, or is being, you know, drawn into to looking either towards themselves or towards other interests, maybe within their own hearths and their own homes, you know, that type of thing can't help but impact the rest of the tribe. It's when one member rejoices, all the members rejoice. When one member suffers, all the members suffer. There's this thing that happens when you tie frith, tie weird, when you establish frith and when you tie weird with people, there's this thing that happens that, you know, without wanting to infringe on their private lives and without wanting to overstep the sovereignty of their own hearths, their own homes, their own space, their own lives, regardless of that, you know, without wanting or wanting to do anything like that, you're still feeling an impact of what their choices, their decisions, their movement has made on you as a member of that body, you know, as a member of that tribe. You know, and sometimes it can feel like, you know, you're being neglected. Like, what about me? You know, what about the rest of us? Why aren't you giving us some of your attention? Why aren't you giving us some of your, you know, focus and stuff like that? And it can be, you know, I think that there's a bit of a human tendency, you know, in us all to feel when attention is shifted away from us as an individual, whether we're part of that group or not, but if focus is being shifted away from us as in any sort of way, that we're, you know, there's this tendency in us to feel selfish. But, well, again, what about me? Why aren't you doing this thing? It's a dangerous path to go down to think that the person who is shifting their focus or shifting their thoughts, their attention, their energy somewhere else, you know, it's dangerous to think that they're doing so to neglect you as a person. If we get towards thinking that too much, then I think where we are as individuals is not where the tribe should be. And by that I mean, yes, the tribe is a collective of individuals. It's an amalgamation of smaller units. So there's clans, there's families that make up the tribe, you know? Ultimately, where an individual's obligation and responsibility lies should be at their hearth, in their clan, at their home. And that hearth or that clan, that home could be them and themselves, or them and their partner, their spouse, their mother, their father, their any other sort of construct of the family unit. That is ultimately where their responsibilities lie. And if they're neglecting those responsibilities, or if they are finding themselves putting too much effort into something outside of that, then they're not feeding their own roof tree. They're not tending to feeding and nourishing what is their first and foremost responsibility. You know? And so if a person who is a part of a tribe has maybe a bit more freedom because of their hearth structure, right? Maybe they're not devoted to another individual. Maybe they don't have a partner, a spouse, a family member, anything like that. Maybe their hearth is just themselves, you know? So maybe that person is a bit freer, you know, or more available to invest their time in towards, you know, other things, other tribal affairs, a bigger picture sort of scenario. Or maybe they've doing that for so long that sort of set a precedent, that sort of set an expectation for the rest of the tribe, where they're like, well, we know that this person is reliable and expected to do X, Y, Z, you know, whatever that thing is. And then when something comes up where they have to shift, or they're feeling a bit out of balance, and they're like, well, I need to go back over to this side and focus more on these things. Well, then, where does the responsibility go that you once had to do these things? You know, let's say, for example, let's say, for example, like a chieftain has responsibilities to the tribe to be able to, you know, plan events and host events, you know, and provide for the rest of the group by means of food and drink for events, right? Maybe that's their responsibility. I'm just using hypotheticals here. And that's been their responsibility because that's what's been, you know, required of them. And they've met those responsibilities. They've met those obligations time and time and time again. And then maybe that chieftain or chiefess, whatever, right, has a life experience or has a thing happen in their life that requires them to focus more on their inner hearth, their inner yard, their immediate kin or their immediate family. And then because of that, the things that the tribe once expected that chieftain or chiefess to perform or do is falling a bit behind, or there is a lack there. There's a bit of an imbalance going on, you know? So what happens in those situations? Well, a well-ordered tribe, a well-ordered unit like that, realizes and recognizes when one of its members, one of its key members, is in need. You know, they're not just going to sit back on their asses. You know, they're just not going to lay back on the laurels and be like, well, he'll figure it out, she'll figure it out, we'll just sit here and wait for them to do it. No. What does the tribe do? The tribe comes together and says, well, how can we help? Right? What can we do to provide for food or drink for an event? How can we help plan an event? What do you need us to do? Where can we help? They come together because they see the need is there to perform these functions, right? And they're not just going to expect that performing body, that functioning body, that functioning limb of the body, maybe, to carry all the burden when it's having to shift its focus elsewhere. How do we come together? How do we find a solution? What can we do, again, to accomplish what's needing to be accomplished? And I say earlier that, you know, a well-ordered tribe, that's the mark of a well-structured, a well-ordered unit, a well-ordered tribe. You know, the people are there for one another. You know, there's not really this, sure, there might be order in the sense of, you know, structure, hierarchy, right? There may be people with titles or positions of responsibility. And in those positions of responsibility comes titles and all this and that. But when it comes down to the brass tacks of things, those titles kind of get pushed aside when it comes down to the real nitty-gritty stuff. And that's where I go back to with acting with honor. Why would a tribe, why would a well-ordered tribe do these things without having to be asked to do it, without having to be prompted to do it? Why would this be something built in? It's because their honor and their luck and everything is like, is on the line, right? Well, if I fail to do this, it's not just my honor that is damaged. It's not just my Yefrain that's damaged. It's everyone else. It's the whole tribe's reputation, right? So if one member is doing something kind of fishy or not meeting their expectations, well, that's a reflection on the whole tribe. That's a reflection on the unit, especially if it's done by somebody of a, in a position of leadership, you know. So if the chieftain's not fulfilling their duty, or the Gothi isn't fulfilling their duty, or the, you know, the law speaker, the Thule, the, you know, whatever your unit might have, you know, the namings of their positions, their titles, if those people in those positions aren't fulfilling their obligations, that's a bad look. That's bad luck. That doesn't look well. That doesn't bode well for the tribe. And the tribe, the members of the tribe expect more of their leaders, and that's how it should be. I think, you know, that if you're in a position of leadership, then there's, you know, everything that the tribe is expected to do, you are expected to do, and then some. Like, you have you're kind of set at a higher standard than everybody else. But that doesn't take away from the fact that when things happen or when there is a need, that it is recognized by everyone else, and they want to come together and they want to help. It's like, look, I'm not trying to overstep here, but there is a need, right? Like, we need to procure the meat for the feast, right? We need to have a space for our bloat. We need to have someone to lead the ritual, right? We need to, you know, whatever the case may be, what can we do? How can we procure the need when things arise, when things happen? I know there's going to be some people that listen to this or that watch this or both that are probably going to be like, I know what it is that you're talking about. And to be honest, there's a lot of things that are inspiring me to want to talk about this. It's not one particular thing, because I do see a lot. I do observe a lot. There's not just things that I'm personally or intricately involved in the capacity that I serve in my community and with my tribe. But there's other things that I see and observe that are happening on a broader scale, on a much wider spectrum. So if the shoe fits, you know, as they say, then wear it, I guess, right? If something of what I'm saying resonates, then it's probably because that's the facts, right? Like, it's, you know, things are happening. There's things going on that I'm not the only one observing it. I just may be the only one right now saying it. And I surely can't be, you know. I'm sure that there are other creators, or there are other people, whether they are creators or not, on content platforms, right? Whether their social media platforms are used for content creation, I'm sure that they have experiences with what I'm talking about right now, where they're feeling this pull away from, or they're feeling like maybe some of their people are feeling a pull away, you know. And it's not like a pull in the sense of they want to be severed. You know, it's not that they want to be done with the group. It's that maybe there is a need for them to heal or to focus or to discover certain things themselves that they can't do while also being held to this responsibility, this obligation. And so in a way, them stepping away or moving aside or figuring things out is an act in itself of honor. You know, it is an honorable way to realize, like, hey, I know what my responsibilities are. I know what my obligations are. And I'm in a place right now where I just can't fulfill that. I want to be. I know I need to be. I owe it to everyone else, not just myself, but I owe it to the tribe, right, to get there. I just need some time to figure it out. And so I feel like if it's done in that sort of way, if it's done with transparency and, you know, speaking to the people that need to be spoken to and, you know, things shared with as much as needing to be shared, that, again, that transparency, that honesty, that goes back to the Frith thing. You know, we can't be Frith bound to one another if we're keeping secrets, if we're hiding things, if we're not being transparent and open enough with the interest of the group's luck in mind. You know, there's not to say that everything needs to be shared, that we need every little nitty gritty detail opened up to about. But when it comes to certain things, it's like, you know, if a group is seeing their respective leader, whether it's their chieftain, their Gothi, their Githya, whatever it is, you know, if the people are seeing that person kind of withdrawing a bit or not getting as involved, it's going to raise questions. They're going to want answers. There needs to be a healthy way to work with respective leaders, and those leaders communicate transparently with their tribe. You know, again, there should be no secrets, and because, again, what that does is that fosters the community, that fosters the bond, and it strengthens the bond that should have been there to begin with. Hey, this is what's going on. We have a member, we have a part of our body who is in need right now, and while they are figuring things out, it is on the rest of us to kind of pick up the slack, you know. And this can't be something too foreign for a lot of folks, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's people that have worked in a, you know, certain industries, maybe that have even served in the military that know this sort of thing that I'm talking about. You know, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and so when there's a broken chink in the chain or a link in the chain is broken, it's you gotta put attention to that, and you gotta give attention to that, and you gotta come together to help carry some more of that burden. You know, like I remember growing up in New York working on a farm as a kid. And, you know, we raised beef cattle. And there was a time that I can remember where the population, the community that we were a part of was of such a size that we would need to, you know, we would need to have enough beef for the year. Two steers were slaughtered in the spring, two steers were slaughtered in the fall. And I think even before that, before I was old enough to start doing that, that there were sometimes more, you know. Sometimes you do three in the fall and two in the spring. Why? Well, because, you know, winter was a longer season of where you didn't have a garden and you couldn't, you know, do stuff like that. And so you'd want to have more meat in the freezer. And so you tend to do more towards the end of the year to have enough to last until the next slaughter. You know, and I remember there were certain people in the community that I was raised in who were, you know, designated individuals for those activities. You had a person who was dedicated to putting the animal down. You had a person who was dedicated to going in there and, so the way that the steer slaughters would work is you would render the animal unconscious, usually with a tool or with a low caliber rifle. You would pop in their head either the round from the rifle, which is like a 22, and all it would do is just knock them unconscious, right? There's other non like ammunition means to do it, but we had just like either a small, you know, 22 pistol or 22 rifle. And all it does is just knock them out. So there was a designated person for that. And he had a designated person that would go in and they would, you know, slit the animal's throat to bleed it out. And the reason why is because the animal is still alive and the heart is still pumping and you want to get all that blood out of the system, right? Anyway, designated person for that, designated person to start doing, and everybody had a role, right? There was a very well-ordered structure to when we would do these things. Everybody knew their place. Everybody had their place. Everybody knew where to be, when they had to be there, what they had to do. And there were times where, you know, at one particular event, you know, one particular slaughter that, you know, that person who was designated for it was, you know, not there for whatever reason. They were unable to be present. Maybe it was an illness, maybe it was an injury, maybe it was just whatever the case was, they weren't there. And so what ends up happening is that responsibility gets delegated or shifted to somebody else in that moment. We still were able to accomplish what we needed to accomplish. We were still able to fulfill our obligations as a group, and we were still able to do what we had to do. But it was due to us knowing that and having that frith bond between one another to step up and be like, what do you need me to do? You know, that means I got to do a little bit extra work, or if I need to, you know, wear many hats, that sort of thing, right? What can I do? How can I help? And just be accessible that way. And we get it done. And I love that. I love that I was given that opportunity in my youth to grow up and learn those types of values, because it is really, first of all, just shaped me into the individual, into the person that I am. But it's also given me a lot of a good foundation for me to grow as a heathen, you know, to realize and know what some heathen values are. When you say you are going to do something, you don't say things lightly. You don't put your word into something and then just shrug it off. Oh, well, oops. Or, oh, I don't feel like it, or whatever. If you say you're going to do something, you stand behind it. And it may not be so severe or as, you know, heavy duty as, say, like an oath. But nonetheless, your word kind of establishes that expectation. And if you're negating on your word, if you're not following through on what you're saying, then that doesn't do well for your gefrain. It doesn't do well for your reputation, because nobody can rely on you if you can't follow through and do the things that you say that you're going to do. Your trustworthiness goes down. Your worth diminishes. Your gefrain is damaged. So, you know, like one of the things I always go back to when I talk about tribe and heathenry and, right, the grassroots heathenry, is, you know, the hearth. You've heard me mention before, hearth. Hearth is the home, you know. And Eric Shervin, who has been a guest on my YouTube channel before, he has a YouTube channel. Eric Shervin, if you look on YouTube, just look up The Raven's Call. Eric Shervin, and it's spelled S-J-E-R-V-E-N. I believe I spelled that correctly. But yeah, Eric Shervin, The Raven's Call. He's talked about this before too. And I think he's really the one that at least I've heard it said this way, is, you know, heathenry is where the hearth is. It all goes back to the hearth, ultimately, you know? So, yeah, sure, we like to talk about, you know, heathen tribes and heathen groups and all of this, you know, sort of big scale, you know, we've got, you know, 50, 60, whatever, 30 people gathering, and we're all, you know, assembled together, and we're doing bloat, and it's this big assembly, it's this big gathering. That looks impressive, that sounds cool, and it's great. But heathenry is where the hearth is. Your people, you know, and that's where it comes down to, is who your people are. Who are your kin? Who are your kith? The extension of your, maybe your blood relatives, or even stronger ties than your blood relatives are in some cases. It's very small. It's small groups, you know. I've talked in a lot on different episodes and just thought about it myself, you know, how great it would be to have this sort of like a, you know, confederation just all the heathen tribes, you know, however big they are, whether it's, you know, a group of three or four in one section of the state, and then a group of 15 or 20 in another state, and then a group of 50 in another region, you know, and now we all can come together and meet, and how great that would be. Yeah, sure, it looks great and sounds cool. But ultimately, heathenry is where the hearth is. You know, you start branching out too far away from the hearth, and, you know, there's too many factors that can come into play. There's too many, some things just don't blend. You know, some things just don't mix, and they shouldn't. There's some things that just shouldn't mix, you know. Gasoline and fire don't mix. They work well in their own way for their own reasons, but you don't mix the two. Why? Because boom. You know what I mean? So there's that. But it does, like, when it comes to the structuring, the building, the fostering of a tribe, right? It is an extension of family. And you do run into these times and these moments where it becomes challenging. Like, man, you know, you may be sitting back and going, you know, what the frick is wrong with you people? Why won't you do this? Why can't you do that? Why can't you pull your head out of your own ass? This sort of thing. Because of whatever's going on. And you know, there's that emotion that comes in, because again, you feel like you're being neglected in a way. Well, why aren't you doing this? Why can't you put your focus back in here like you used to? You know, or whatever. Or, well, bigger picture stuff. Maybe there's some grace that needs to be exhibited, you know, an understanding. And that's an important part of, I think, being an honorable person, being a heathen with honor, you know, is not being so reactive to things. It's, you know, there are times when it's necessary to be like Thor, and not to think so much before action. It's just to do, and just to execute, and just to, you know, lay the hammer down and be that sort of brute, unbridled strength and force. You know, there's times for that, but I think more often, you know, there's a bit more finesse. There's a bit more grace. There's a bit more wit, you know, at times. What can we learn from some of the sagas? What can we learn from some of the stories? There was, talking about sagas and stories, like, there was a recent example, and I'm not going to give too great details, but there was a recent example that I was exposed to. That kind of fits the discussion, and there was a it was regarding a cartoon, and you know, this person didn't want their child to be exposed to this particular cartoon because they said that this cartoon was promoting you know, a lifestyle amongst its characters that they didn't agree with. You know, and we're living in a time now in the world and in society where people's lifestyles are under attack. You know, people's way that they feel comfortable existing and being identified in the world are regularly put in under attack. You know, and this person was not wanting their child to be exposed to a cartoon because they felt that this cartoon was portraying its characters in a way that they didn't agree with, you know, as sort of like an identity thing. Well, come to find out, right, that the context of everything was that this particular cartoon has an offshoot, you know, sort of like an extension of its main production, in the form of a film, you know, a movie. You know, and in that movie, there was a scene where this cartoon character, you know, makes a choice on a very off the cuff, on a whim sort of decision. You know, they were faced with a decision, and instead of taking the time to think about their decision, they acted on impulse. They reacted out of emotion. They reacted out of a desire or whatever, and their what that reaction caused was them to be, you know, transformed or looked at in as a different creature, as a different version of themselves than they were before. And like people like to twist things like that. Oh, there's some sort of subliminal message, you know. Be happy in the skin you're in. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. Just be happy. Well, the context of that scene wasn't about that. It was about, well, look what you did. You reacted too quickly. You didn't think about the repercussions of your actions. You didn't stop to think about it. You reacted hastily, you know. And now you have to deal with this awkward moment. And that was what the message was really about. It was be patient, you know. And this is a children's cartoon, right? This is a cartoon that was geared towards children to teach them certain values of wait your turn, be patient. These types of things that we, you know, as adults now, we look back and, well, these are things that we teach our children, you know, to be better suited for them growing up and interacting with other children their age and other people and stuff, right? Be patient, wait your turn. And it was just it was interesting to hear the argument about this isn't what I want my child to be exposed to because I don't want them to think that they can just, you know, put on this set of clothes or be this type of person and think that it's okay. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what this is about, first of all. That was a movie, a scene from a movie that was trying to teach children a certain value of patience, right? And you're going to misconstrue it and be like, I don't want them watching this cartoon, period. The cartoon that has nothing to do with this. It's a series. It runs concurrent. It has, you know, weekly or daily, whatever new episodes that come out. And you're going to take that bigotry, that hatred, that closed-minded view of things, of a scene that I guarantee you they probably never even saw the movie. They just heard about it on an article from, you know, some news site or something, probably somewhere trying to push an agenda, you know, propaganda is a thing. But I don't even know where I started with where I went off. It felt right at the time. It felt like a good segue into that. But anyway, you know, like not everything is what it seems. Sometimes reacting just out of reaction doesn't get you anywhere except into more hot water. It puts you, you know, I've run into situations myself where I saw something, I reacted out of it, and then I learned more about it afterwards, and I go, I should have thought more about my actions before I took them. That was not a situation at that, you know, particular juncture of my path that required me to just jump and not think. So there's, you know, there's repercussions to things like that, and taking, you know, responsibility when it calls for it is necessary and it's important. So, in conclusion, there are things going on with people nowadays. A lot of people, myself, others, everybody's got things going on in their own lives. Sometimes those lives that you know were once intertwined and interwoven more deeply or more intricately. Outside of their hearth cults, outside of their hearth their family units, right? Their individual clan structure, whatever. Even if it's just themselves in an apartment or in a home, they're having to shift their focus more and learn more about themselves, or figure more about themselves, or get through things themselves. It's not right for us to jump to conclusions and think that they're, you know, failing in some sort of way. If anything, we should be accessible, right? I don't want to pry, I don't want to push, I'm not trying to, and respect boundaries, right? Respect the boundaries that those people set up, and also respect ourselves to set up certain boundaries, you know, because if we just want to, oh, I'll help you any which way possible, right? You can lean on me, you can cry to me, I'm an ear, I'm a shoulder, right? That's all well and good. If some of us are more empathetic and some of us have more of a tendency to feel things from others, what is their plight? What are things that they're going through doing to us too? And are we then capable of being that rock or that positive influence in their lives? Or are we going to take what they're saying or hearing what they're saying and you know, twist it in some sort of way that makes it feel personal to us? All sorts of things that go on with individuals in the way that I'm speaking of that are worthy of consideration, I think, you know. Not every hat is suited for every head, okay? Not every suit is suited for every body. So, you know, live with grace. Realize that there's a lot going on with people, and be there for the people that we need to be there for, and respect boundaries and respect their own boundaries, and step in when you need to step in. You know, if there's a group or there's an extension of yourself that you're of your clan or of your tribe that you're, you know, bonded with in some sort of way, and you see another member struggling, don't hesitate to be like, hey, I don't want to overstep, but I'm here to help. What can I do to help? How can I help? And then listen to what those people say. Don't try to do things your way. Gosh, I've had to learn that lesson hard, and I'm so hard-headed. I've had it beaten over my head countless times. You know, don't try to help that person your way. Help them their way. Listen to their language. And do what they need you to do in their way. If they're literally laying it out in front of you and telling, well, this is how you can help me, well, don't be deaf in this ear and do it your way on the other. You know, help people the way they need to be helped. Such a delicate thing, right? It's like, yeah, you want to help people, but you're like, oh, I think you could really benefit if you did it this way. It goes back to the whole grace thing, you know? And it's a delicate dance that we all dance, that we all go through. You know, it's wild, wild times, man, wild times that we're all living in. So, I feel like if I just don't shut up now, then I'll continue to make less sense than what I've made up to this point. So hopefully this has been, an episode that you're going to find interest or value in. Again, sorry for the missing guest this week. One of those things where, you know, make do the best we can with what we've got. And, you know, hopefully the guest that I had scheduled this week, we can reschedule for a later time, because I know it was a topic that got a lot of interest circulated around it on my social medias. There were some comments and stuff in the post that I had made on Facebook about it. And I was really looking forward to going into it some more. But things happen for a reason, you know. Everything happens for a reason. So if it happens, it happens. And if it don't, then it don't. And we just keep on keeping on. So thank you all so much for listening to and or watching this week's Random Heathen Ramblings episode. I hope you liked it. If you did, share it around, upvote it. You know, if you're watching this on Patreon, smash that little heart button. Tells the algorithm that you like it. And maybe drive some more people towards it. So you never know what your actions might do to help others discover stuff like this. And anyways, whatever you do, just listening and watching to this is support in and of itself. So thank you so very much for doing that. That's about all I think I've got, ladies and gentlemen. So until we talk and hear from each other again, may the gods continue to notice you. May your ancestors smile upon you. See you in the next one.